pregame show for your day. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. The Deal Boss is in. We're doing some health Bluetooth stuff. What you got?
Absolutely. Bill, when you usually get that vital data about your health, you usually get it from where?
From the doctor, your physical, your blood pressure, that sort of thing?
Exactly.
All right.
One time a year from that person, and it's vital information at all ages that we can benefit from having at our fingertips every day. So my favorite scale today is a body fat scale. It's not just some arbitrary number that you get where if you are working out and you happen to gain the first pound of muscle you've ever had in your entire life like I did this year, don't worry, it went away. The scale gives you a more accurate definition of what's going on. Body mass index, body weight, it calculates everything, separates the numbers for you, and then gives you a goal that you can chart safely, securely, and wirelessly from your smartphone.
So that number, the scale number, you need to understand what the weight is and exactly how it affects your body, that sort of thing.
Exactly. Yep. It's like getting an analysis from a body fat clinic or from a doctor, a nutritionist, someone that can give you a little bit more than just saying, oh, 225 pounds.
Right.
That number holds so much more data. And for the same price as a regular scale, for the most part, you get a highly accurate doctor-approved scale under $40. Bluetooth ready. Top of the line, if you head over to WTAM.com using the keywords Ways to Save, you can actually hear from a doctor and weight loss professional on why my pick is their top choice.
Matt Granite, the Deal Boss, watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow. Just go to WTAM.com, keyword save, for the deal. Thanks, Matt.
Awesome.
News Radio WTAM 1100, Mike Snyder Sports, mornings 15 and 45 past. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Indians and Twins waited over 2 hours to play their game because of the rain, and when they did, this was pretty much ball game last night.
Now the set and the pitch, a swing and a towering drive, deep left center field. It's on its way to the bleachers. Mitch Garver with his sixth home run. 3-0 Minnesota. On Garver's 3-run home run to the bleachers in left center.
Yeah, Carlos Carrasco really struggled in the first two innings before he settled down, and that was it. Those were the 3 runs the Twins scored, and it was enough as the Indians never really got their bats going. They scored 2 in the 8th, 1 on a Frankie Lindor home run, his 28th of the year, and that was it. Minnesota wins the game by a score of 3-2. The series will continue tonight at 7:10. Mike Clevenger on the mound for the Tribe, and of course you can hear it right here. Well, Antonio Callaway, the wide receiver, was on the field again yesterday despite his off-the-field issue on Sunday in which he was cited for marijuana possession and driving with a suspended license. The Browns were blindsided by the news yesterday afternoon, which was reported before the practice. Here's what Hugh Jackson said afterwards.
I mean, obviously the red flag is up, you know, because that's something that he had. But at the same time, let me work through it and see what it is and go from there. You guys know me pretty well. We'll have a very strong conversation about it. Let me find out all the facts. You know, everything that went into it and kind of go from.
Well, it was 24 hours ago at this exact time I was telling you about. Well, I actually heard Hugh Jackson at the time talk about, hey, I want to see what Callaway can do Thursday night against the Giants as he moved up the depth chart after Corey Coleman was traded. And now this news about Callaway, who we told you had baggage coming out of college. The Browns took a flyer on him, and the 4th-round pick now in trouble. Now, he's doing court tomorrow. Browns play preseason game 1 against the Giants tomorrow night. So his status for tomorrow was not determined as of yesterday. More on the Browns in a moment. In Columbus, we got a peek at the Ohio State Buckeye football team in practice for the first time, and things looked actually very normal, even though Urban Meyer is not on the field. The Buckeyes open up the season against Oregon State. Looks like the Cavs will be home for Christmas, the marquee game on Christmas Day. We'll have Golden State taking on LeBron James and the Lakers. Celtics Sixers will be one of the other games, and of the 3 others that appear to be on the schedule, the Cavs are not involved. Cavs did officially acquire forward Sam Decker from the Clippers yesterday, and the complete NBA schedule is due out by the end of the week. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100. Time for a Browns training camp report brought to you by your fantasy football destination, Buffalo Wild Wings, Wings, Beer, and Sports. Well, Hard Knocks did premiere last night on HBO, at least going into it. Baker Mayfield, among those players featured, didn't seem to be all that interested.
I'm in the hotel, so no, I won't tape it. I'll be in bed by
he said he's going to go to bed last night. So, Baker, I think one of the newsy parts of it, and we'll have a little clip of that. We'll actually, we'll bleep some of the things. But Jarvis Landry has been a star on the field, the veteran, a star in last night's show. Very passionate speech to the receivers about, you know, just getting out there doing your job every day. And a little point of discussion between head coach Hugh Jackson and even offensive coordinator Todd Haley. They have these scheduled off days trying to keep players healthy. And there's the old line mentality. Hey, get out there every day. All in all, though, that was maybe the controversy in the first Hard Knocks edition of the year. The Browns travel today. They'll meet the Giants in preseason game one tomorrow. With your Browns update, I'm Mike Snyder.
30. On the world stage, a little chess match going on. Bill Zimpfer joins us this morning. I saw yesterday, Bill, the State Department saying, look, just be patient about North Korea and back and forth. We've got sanctions there as well as Iran, and we're concerned about China and Russia as well, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. They're saying just be patient. Kind of reminds us of a term that we heard in a previous administration called strategic patience. That's what the Obama administration did and in their tack toward North Korea. President Trump said, no, that's over. But apparently we're back there again. But I thought it was interesting, Bill, that yesterday, the day the first round of those sanctions went back into effect against Iran, there was a meeting in Tehran involving the foreign minister of Iran and the foreign minister of, you got it, North Korea. Interesting meeting in Tehran yesterday. And how do Russia and China play into this thing? Well, both of these countries are aiding North Korea. And both of these countries have showed no inclination to go along with these sanctions the United States wants to put in effect against Iran. And the president, of course, threatening that anybody that wants to do business with us can't do business with Iran. Russia is aiding in North Korea's coal shipments out of the country. China recently shipped a bunch of generators to North Korea in violation of sanctions in order to help with their power problems. And the truth is that Russia and China could benefit economically from these sanctions against Iran because they could pick up a lot of business that could be going elsewhere. Fascinating story.
If you're keeping track, too, we've got our trade problems with China right now. And you just mentioned Russia. We've got issues with them on many different levels, too, right?
Yeah, these are two countries that aren't exactly on smooth waters with the United States to begin with. I got a feeling that any chance they have to tweak the United States, they're going to do it.
Bill Zimpfer on it this morning. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome, Bill.
Here's some breakfast for your brain.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. How's that back-to-school shopping go? John Matarese over News 5 Cleveland joins us on that topic. John, popular time of the year, tax-free shopping, but look, I want to ask you about stores. You've got a story posted on really the best, maybe the best store to go to, John?
Yes, that's right, Bill. You know, parents are shopping right now. This is peak week for back-to-school shopping in Northeast Ohio. Of course, we all enjoyed the sales tax holiday over the weekend.
Sure.
And I tell you, I was in Target, packed with shoppers grabbing those bargains. But you'll still find a lot of bargains. So what we did was we went out to the two biggest stores for back-to-school shopping these days, and that is Target and that is Walmart. We priced a basket of items, typically for, say, a first-grade classroom, you know, the typical crayons and notebooks and backpacks with
right.
Dora the Explorer on them. And, and then we shopped. So we shopped Target, Walmart, and then we did something very interesting. We checked Amazon.
Oh.
And Bill, what would your guess be as to which was the best and which was the worst when it came to price?
I'm thinking Amazon's got to be the best in price, John. I mean, they beat everybody.
Everybody thinks that, and that is completely wrong. This is amazing when it comes to school supplies, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people, they go showrooming. You know, they walk into a store, they look at a big screen TV, they find the one they want, they take a picture of the model number, and then they go home and they order it on Amazon.
Right.
Because everybody knows Amazon's a great way to save money and get free shipping.
Right.
Well, the thing is, that's not the case with back-to-school supplies. Because with back-to-school supplies, stores want you in. These big stores, they want you in the store because it's not just to sell you crayons and Elmer's school glue. They want to sell you all the clothing. They want to sell you shoes. They want to sell you everything else so that you walk out with a $200 bill. So what happens is stores are basically giving away products. We were finding Elmer's school glue for 50 cents at Target and 50 cents at Walmart. We're finding little spiral notebooks for 79 cents. I mean, that's well below cost. The stores are giving those away to get you in the store. Now, on Amazon, that same Elmer's school glue, 50 cents at Walmart, well, it's like $2 at Amazon because they're just charging the regular price. So when we compared this basket, I mean, Walmart and Target were so similar. I mean, Walmart was the winner. They were the cheapest, but only by $3 over Target. So it's more a matter of personal preference. But Amazon was like $12 higher than everybody simply because they're not offering those giveaways. They're not doing the $1 and the 50 cent giveaways that those other stores are doing. And I might mention Staples is doing too, where you can get some items for 50 cents.
So be aware, you might be thinking, man, I'm saving a lot of money, but you're also pushing that cart through the clothes and everything else you're buying while you're there too then, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So this is a case where Amazon actually was more expensive. However, at Amazon, you're only going to order what you need. When you're pushing that cart through Target, you'll probably buy another $100 worth of merchandise.
Interesting story. Good stuff. John Matarese. You can see more at News5Cleveland.com. Thanks, John.
Great talking to you, Bill. Thanks so much.
This morning's detection of an unidentified radio source from deep space can neither be confirmed nor denied.
Whatever. All right, here's what I know about this story. Hey, this is from the movie Contact some 20 years ago with Jodie Foster, with Dr. Ellie, when they were playing this out. James Woods and this bunch of great people in that movie from 20 years ago. Jay Reynolds joins us this morning, a guy that watches and listens to the sky. Hi, Jay.
Hey, good morning. And just to let you know, my bid for the Brady House did not go through.
It did not go through. I wondered about
that.
Yeah,
it was
not me. Hey, you and I, we were trading some messages yesterday. You were out on the, out boating or out on the islands when that storm hit?
Yeah, every year there's a big stargazing cruise courtesy of the Miller Ferry on behalf of the Lake Erie Nature and Wildlife Center out there. And we had over 200 people out there, and this thing boxed us in, and the captain of the Miller Ferry did an outstanding job trying to keep us dry. But the problem was it just caught up to us. So, yeah, we went through that whole thing. It was quite an experience, but everyone's safe, and everyone has a great experience to tell everyone. I tell everyone, every year when you come out here, you're going to learn something. This time it was about the weather.
Great to hear. You know what? Boating on Lake Erie on a clear day, all of a sudden that lake can change. It's just a reminder, you know, what happens out there.
No question. It was flat and then very quickly turned to white caps. And you know, Miller Ferries are not small. And it was getting pushed around quite a bit. But still, it was a great experience. So, yeah.
All right, here's the story. Let me set this up. A mysterious radio signal has been spotted by a telescope in Canada. It is one of the lowest in frequency to date. The article originally came out of the Astronomer's Telegram. The observation was posted last week by the university's radio telescope. Now, hold on. You're doubting this already. Now, let me ask you this first of all. Are we talking about noise? Are we talking about a beep? Are we talking about a little glitch on a computer? When we talk about listening in space, because we're doing that all the time, how are we hearing?
Yeah, it comes back as signals, and sometimes you can then convert those signals into some form of audio. But just like 1100 AM is a certain frequency, well, at 1100, let's look at this mysterious radio signal. It's I think it's like 0.580 or so. It's very low on the band. But what you're really looking for is you look at that signal and what information is contained within the signal. It's radio telescopes is just basically, it's almost like an AM radio, except it's on a very large antenna, and you can point that antenna to different portions of the sky. There's different information at different frequencies, no big deal. But this was a very low frequency. The signature was very interesting, but they haven't heard it since. And in science, you have to have confirmation, either usually from a second source or at least the second burst. And one example of this was there was another mysterious radio signal heard. I don't know. I think this was about 15 years ago, and they traced it out to a microwave oven. Okay, another person found a radio signal that they said, "I think I discovered a new star." Well, it turned out to be the planet Mars. Okay, so there are mistakes that are made. That's why you have to have confirmation. You just can't take this at one one announcement and that's it. It's, you start off interesting and you keep that in the back of your mind because now, okay, well, we had the signal, but you're always going to look for confirmation. So at this point, it's an interesting story, but it's not confirmed. So good science says we got to find it again.
Another minute with Jay Reynolds. Maybe God's just playing with us, you know, just having some fun. Let me ask you this. Could a radio burst noise be a star exploding? I mean, isn't there sound?
No. Sound in space, no. Because in order for sound to occur, you have to have atmosphere as we know it, or some way to move the sound. But there's signatures out there that that could suggest perhaps sound in space. Not sound in space, but an exploding star.
Right.
But we've seen a lot of exploding stars and collisions between things. We've never seen something like this.
All right.
So, the jury's still out on this one.
All right. So if the tree falls, we still don't know if we actually heard anything, right?
Exactly. Very good. That's a great analogy. Very
okay.
good.
All right.
Very
well,
good.
I try.
Yeah.
All right. If you hear anything else, let me know, okay? Pardon the pun.
Yeah, I promise I will. Hey, let me put out a quick plug here for this Sunday evening is the Perseid meteor showers. Even if it's not perfectly clear, I encourage everyone to go outside and just go to a park or even your backyard. Just get the lights out of your eyes and have a look up because there won't be a moon out, and we may see as many as 80 streaks or meteors per hour.
Wow.
So you have a real high chance at seeing something here. Take the kids out, take the dog, look up, be patient, 15, 20 minutes. By that point, you should see something. Start about 9:30 or so.
Okay.
Give it some time, and you'll likely see a shooting star. Go ahead and make that wish.
That's Sunday night, right?
Yeah, that's Sunday night into Monday morning. The best time is going to be at 3 a.m., but you're busy getting ready for work.
Yeah, I'm kind of busy at that point. All right, Jay Reynolds, good follow on Twitter, too. Reynolds Astro, check him out and follow him as well. Jay, I appreciate it. Glad you're back safe, too. Thanks, pal.
Always a pleasure.
And now, 5 good minutes.
Greg Stebbin follows Stuff for us. Tech culture writes on it. Follow him on Twitter, at Greg Stebbin. Morning, pal.
Hey, good morning.
All right, Facebook. I've noticed a couple headlines, and the word banking seems to be appearing next to Facebook. So let me run a couple things by you. They're already a big company. Zuckerberg's trying to make money hand over fist. Does he want to get in the banking business?
Well, the interesting word in that question is into. So normally we think, does Facebook want to become a bank? And I don't think that's what Facebook is thinking about, at least not yet.
Okay.
When you say, does Facebook want to get into the banking business, what I think we could really say today is they want to get into the business, like into the database. They want to get into the business and mess around without becoming a bank. So that perhaps you would start doing more of your money stuff, making bank deposits, checking your account balance, buying stuff, paying for stuff, without ever leaving the Facebook app. I think that kind of into the banking, they would love to do, and I think they'd love to do it with your bank.
They're in the data business. That's how they make money when it comes to what I do on Facebook and sell ads and that sort of thing. So technically, they can't, you know, be insured by the FDIC, but you're saying maybe they want to do deals with banks while you're on your Facebook page. I can share money through Messenger or something like that, maybe?
Well, that's right. And I mean, theoretically, this would take you giving permission for Facebook to access your bank information so that when you were in Facebook, you would never have to leave Facebook to do the stuff you do on your bank's website or app today. And what's really, first of all, the first reaction to this, I think for most people, will be, oh my gosh, I'm horrified. What a terrible idea. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it's actually a great idea. And I think it's worth talking about the pros and cons because the pros and cons are actually the same thing. So, for instance, Facebook in particular has had some privacy issues lately, right? So you may think, I don't want Facebook to have access to all that information about me. Or security, I don't trust Facebook to have all access to all that information about me. But on the other hand, remove the emotional reaction to Facebook and just think, if some super app, if I did all the same things I do on Facebook through some super app that involved my financial transactions too,
mm-hmm.
it might be that super app would be way better at protecting my privacy and my security than hundreds or thousands of large and small banks and credit unions. And there's an argument to be made that that might be true. And there's an argument to be made that it may be a terrible idea. And the reality is we just don't know yet. But for instance, email users, most of them around the world all use one platform called Gmail, and we have not seen any terrible consequences of that. And yet there could have been a case when Gmail rolled out to never use it because too many people were there. It was too big of a target, and if the target went down, it would affect everyone. We just don't know what the right answer will be.
So the questions would still be privacy, security, the normal stuff I should worry about any time I'm on the web to start with, right?
Well, that's exactly right. So again, the Facebook part makes it an emotional issue because Cambridge Analytica.
Right.
We know
there goes Zuckerberg again. Yeah.
That's exactly right. So there's actually a case for this, and that is in China, there is a tool called WeChat. And China's different than the rest of the world, again, because their internet is completely walled off. Only stuff in China happens in China, and the government gets to know everything it wants to know. But in China, there's an app called WeChat, and everybody uses it for everything. It is the YouTube, the Amazon, the Google, the banking app, the PayPal, the Venmo, the pizza. Everything you do in China is in one app. You never leave the app, and when you see it, you realize what a wonderful technological vision that is. Oh, except for the government gets to know everything you do part. And that, of course, is the dangerous part, is even in this scenario, it may not be the government that knows everything you do, but it will be some company that knows everything you do. And if you're going to let some company know everything you do, and we're all going to let that company know everything we do, we better put a lot of trust in that company.
Interesting topic. Greg Stebbin, follow him on Twitter, at Greg Stebbin. Facebook, maybe into the banking business at some level. Interesting topic. All right, Greg, thanks, pal. Have a good day.
It's great to be here.
On Prospect Avenue downtown, have you been to Chicago's home of chicken and waffles? Get that little taste of sweetness with the chicken. It's our iHeart deal of the week. You know, I love this because if you can't decide between breakfast or dinner, pretty much that's why you want Chicago home chicken and waffles. It's our iHeart deal of the week, a little sweet and salty taste. And I have in studio this morning James and Saint. Good to see you guys. Good to meet you, first of all. Appreciate it.
Good morning to you.
Congratulations on the business. Saint, let me talk to you, just start with you first. The Chicago home of chicken and waffles, talk about it being around and basically starting in Chicago. But you guys, congratulations, because it's been growing, right?
It's absolutely been growing. It's been a good success. Just following my father's footsteps, we started off in New York. We have two locations in Chicago, and now we are here in Cleveland. Just following them, you know, trying to expand the brand and build this chicken and waffles up.
The restaurant business fascinates me because you have to have consistency. I mean, if I was there and I bragged on the meal and I want to send somebody else, so that's one of the, I don't care what you're serving, right? I mean, James, consistency is one of the things you really have to have
Definitely.
In a restaurant business, right? Including service, too, right?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Right. Yes.
Bill, please, by the way. Serves my dad, but that's okay.
Yes, Bill.
All right, but a little bit about chicken and waffles. And I mentioned this earlier. It's sweet and salty. If you can't decide between breakfast and dinner, really, that's kind of the history. That's how they came together, right? Middle of the night, the cooks would leave, right? Is that the story?
And that is normally the story, and that's normally what's left over.
Okay.
Chicken and the waffles. And there's a variety of different ways you can go get it. We normally do it with the three wings.
Yeah.
You get it with a breast and a wing, boneless grilled thighs.
Yeah.
And that is all fried. Now, you can get creative and get your chicken smothered with the sautéed onions over the top.
Yes.
And it's always a great combination where you can get that sweet waffle with the sweet syrup.
Yes.
And then douse
yes.
that chicken with the fine hot sauce.
Very
keep
delicious.
It going.
Very
keep it going,
delicious.
Say. Keep it going.
This
Everybody's
is delicious.
Mouth is watering right now.
Yeah. Can I find any gravy in that place?
Yeah. We have tons of it.
Yeah.
Tons of chicken gravy.
Chicken livers?
Chicken livers, gizzards.
Yeah. We have catfish, fried or grilled. We also have grilled salmon. We have side dishes that consist of collard greens, red beans and rice, which are cooked with smoked turkey meat.
Okay.
You have your macaroni, collard greens, yams.
Yeah.
We also have potato salad,
right.
rice and gravy, and
right.
delicious home fries, which are diced potatoes with your diced peppers and onions.
And peppers, that's a must.
Yes.
Now, can I add a waffle about anything?
Yes, you can.
Yeah?
You can add a waffle to any meal you desire. Normally, that's the best way to do it. Guests come in, they get a dinner, they get the three sides along with cornbread,
yeah,
and then they add a waffle onto the side. It's kind of more of a meal slash dessert.
Right. Yep. And if you want to share, you can.
Yes.
Right, you can share. We also have a nice bar, a good bar set up with a nice bar menu, hot wings, Hennessy wings, a lot of different appetizers on that menu, especially our sweet potato pie and our peach cobbler.
Ooh.
Is very delicious.
Sweet tea, right?
Sweet tea.
Yeah, that's a
we
must.
We have unsweetened delicious as well. But yeah, we got, everybody
I know,
has
but this
tea.
Is more, we're talking more southern here. You know, we're getting south of the Mason Dixon line here.
Around.
Come on
no,
now.
No, don't come in trying to lose no calories. You're going to get them all there.
It's really experienced dining, you know? I mean,
yes,
really,
it
it's fun.
It's fun.
It's
the kids eat free on Wednesdays.
I like
so
it.
So make sure you bring out the kids to come in. We do live jazz Friday and Saturday from 10 to 7.
Nice.
I mean, I'm sorry, from 7 to 10.
Okay.
We also have a fine little after set that we do from 10 to 12 with the DJ. Mm-hmm. So
little adult stuff.
Yeah, you're more than welcome to come out.
I got you. All right. Again, on Prospect Downtown, you've been open about a year or so?
Yeah, about a year and a half now.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
iHeart Deal of the Week. Go to WTAM.com, keyword deals, and get a $50 gift certificate for just $25 to enjoy at Chicago's Home of Chicken and Waffles. And if you haven't been yet, I'm sure you're hungry now. You better get there and enjoy when it comes to some great food and a great menu. James and Saint, thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank
God
you.
Bless. Keep it going. And we hope you guys do extremely well here in this town, okay?
Thank you. Thanks much appreciated.
Thank you. See you, buddy. WTAM.com keyword deals for the iHeart Deal of the Week. Let's talk about the Tribe. I know he had a long day yesterday because he was down at Progressive Field emceeing the showing of the MLB All-Star logo for next year with the rock and roll guitar and all. Tom Hamilton joined us for Falls Motor City. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, before we get to the game, let's talk about yesterday. That was really exciting. I know we talk about a big event, but something like yesterday, it starts to kind of set in. We're going to host this thing next year.
Yeah, I know. You're right. That's how I felt too, Bill. Hadn't really given it too much thought. You know, just because you're in the middle of a season and a season in which, you know, you're going to play in October and hopefully have a memorable run this October. So I'm with you. I hadn't really thought about it. And all of a sudden, it's like, holy cow, that's going to be here before we know it, too. So I thought they did a great job with the logo. And, you know, this All-Star game, it's not just a game anymore. It's really almost a week-long event, the way it really comes in and takes over your city. So It should be really terrific for the city of Cleveland.
It is going to be fun. Well, Tom, last night, nothing fun about a two-hour delay to start a game. That just, I don't, you got to go play the game. But I mean, I just think for the players, as Bill mentions, a long day. You were, you know, at Progressive Field early in the day yesterday. But even for the players, I think a lot of people don't realize that the 7 o'clock game, ball players are getting to the ballpark early in the afternoon, aren't they?
Oh yeah, you know, most of those guys are, I'm guessing they're there between 1 and 2 o'clock based on what you see on the road. So it is. And, you know, I think sometimes the game takes on that kind of impact. Just, you know, just not the same game. Now, you know, both starting pitchers for the most part were pretty darn good last night. So, you know, there weren't many runs scored. But I'm with you on that. You know, and you feel bad for the fans, too. They sit there a long, long time, and some have come a pretty good distance, so it's really a late night for them, too. But they did get it in, and, you know, it's just kind of been that way with the Indians, where you score 10 runs one night, and then the next night, you know, have a tough time even scratching out any runs until the late innings in that ballgame. So, you know, the good news is you're still up 9 games, but there's still been that inconsistency from an offensive standpoint.
Well, I think we are looking big picture, as you mentioned, toward October. If there was one real positive from last night, of course, as you mentioned, Carrasco pitched well again. But to see Andrew Miller get some extra work in, Tom, that's a lot about what's going on now to kind of get him back in the groove, isn't it?
That's the key now. You're right, Mike. I mean, they need him to get the outings. Now, you won't see Andrew Miller. I would think now he might get a couple of days off because they hadn't really game planned for him this early to go multiple innings. But, you know, he only made 4 pitches to get out of the 1 inning, and so he didn't make that many pitches to get the 5 outs. But I think you'll see him continue to just kind of get better and sharper. That's the big thing. The velocity will come back. And, the nice thing is you've got 2 months. I mean, we saw how it was last year. Remember, guys, in September when the minor league season was over and, you know, you're trying to get Brantley at bats, you're trying to get Kipnis acclimated to center and Chisenhall at bats. They just didn't have enough time to get sharp this way now. Miller's got plenty of time to get back to where he needs to be, you know, once October does get here.
Tom Hamilton on the Tribe, 3-2 loss last night. Mike Clevenger on the mound tonight. GanleyAuto.com Tribe Insider with the new daddy. Welcome to the club, Nick Camino, 6 o'clock. And the Tribe and the Twins, 7:10 tonight on WTAM 1100. Tom, thanks, partner.
You bet. Thanks, guys.